Hey, we are going to continue a series we started last week. And it's if you're grown up in church, you've heard this word before, stewardship. It is a stewardship series. It is a question that asks you, how are you using the gifts that God has given you? How are you investing the talents, the resources God has given you? And we've titled this series E-Trade. E-Trade, like the company that you see advertised for investing online. As I shared last week, I want to just remind you of the logo difference. We changed the logo slightly. See, E-Trade is all about building your wealth here. E-Trade typically is all about building your wealth here. How can you send money over on this way and get more money back? How can you put some money in the stock exchange, into New York, into Wall Street, invest it, and get some money back into your account? When we use the term with our logo, we've switched it around. And instead of the arrows pointing left and right, the arrows point up and down. Because what we've said from the foundation is God has blessed us. God has gifted us. And God will reward us dependent upon how we invest with our gifts and our lives on earth. Let me back up and say that one more time. There are rewards in heaven. I don't know what they are. I don't know what they look like. But what I know throughout Scripture is that the Bible speaks of rewards that await those who are faithful. And those rewards are not based upon just what you do here. It's your heart as you serve, your heart as you share, your heart as you give. What I want you to know is your entrance into heaven is not based on what you do. Your entrance into heaven is based on the gift of Jesus Christ. But somehow throughout Scripture, and we read it last week, there are rewards on heaven, in heaven. There are rewards in eternity that reflect on how you chose to live your life here. They don't get you in. They determine what eternity is like once you're in. And what we said, our trading tip number one for living your life is what we do matters. What we do matters. How you live your life here today does matter. You are forgiven through Jesus Christ. You are given access to God's presence through the gift of Jesus on the cross. There is nothing you can do to earn God's love. But once you receive that love, once you say yes to Him, what you do matters as far as what your eternity will be like. We read a scripture last week that talked about how our work on earth will be judged. And the writer said it'll pass through the fire. And if it is good, it will sustain. If it is not, if it is burned away, then we'll get into eternity, but we'll be like those entering through the flames. Like we just got saved by the skin on the back of our neck. You know that feeling when you're not sure if you're going to make it in. So what we said is what we do here matters. How we invest our earthly lives influence the rewards in eternity. We laid that foundation, and today we're going to move forward. And I want to share with you, through Scripture, some big mistakes we all can be guilty of. And I want to teach you how to avoid these common user errors with the gifts and resources you have. The story we're going to share is a familiar one to many of you. It's out of Matthew. It's a story Jesus told, and it's the story of the talents. Talents, by the way, were actually a monetary value. So it's actually a story Jesus was sharing with how servants used the resources their master gave them. And we're going to be reading out of Matthew 25, and we're starting in verse 14. It's on the monitor. It's in your bulletin. But if you have your Bibles, I invite you to turn there with me. And let's read through this story and pick up what to do and what not to do with what we have and what we've been given. Here's what Jesus says. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and he entrusted his servants. He entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. I want to ask you real quick, does that seem fair? You're like, wait a minute. Why do you get 5 and this guy only gets 2 and I got stuck with 1? But I understand that in our world, we'd like to say, wait a minute, that doesn't seem fair. But does it seem real? It does seem real. And I don't understand God's logic, and that's probably a good thing. But what I know is there are some of you that are more gifted than me. And the reality is I'm more gifted than some others. That doesn't change who I am. That doesn't change my value. It just addresses what you and I have. The person who has 5 is not a better person than the person that has 2 or 1. They just happen to have more resources. And our number one resource is equal across the board. Who knows what your number one resource is that is no greater and no less than anybody else's? What is your number one resource? And it's the most expensive thing you possess. You can't buy more of it. Time. So it's not just our financial resources, our physical gifts. It's our time as well. And so before we start feeling too bad for one or jealous of another, let's remember we all have 24 hours. And there are many people, especially towards the end of their lives, that would trade everything they have if they could to buy more time. And you and I can't. So what we recognize in our world is there are some that have 5. There are some that have 2. There are some that have 1. But we all have 24. And we have to decide how we're going to invest that. So let's see what Jesus says in this story. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I earned 5 more." I want you to pay attention to what they say. Listen to how the servants perceive why they received. Did you hear that? I just made that up on the spot, but it rhymes, and so it must be good. Let it stick in your head. Why? How do they perceive why they have received? That first one said, "I was given 5 bags to what? Invest." The master was full of praise. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount. So now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The master's throwing a party. The servant who had received 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to what? Invest. And I earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, good and faithful servant." I love that line. I'm going to interrupt again. If you want to know what you're to live for, that's it right there. "Well done, good and faithful servant." Why should I do anything? Because I hope to hear those words. "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have gotten some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Now throw this useless servant into the outer darkness, where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth." Ouch! Wait a minute, Jesus, your love. Wait a minute, Jesus. That doesn't seem fair. He gave you back what you gave him. Now, I'm grateful that this is a story. I do not think Jesus is recounting exactly what passing into eternity is like. He is giving us this story, but he's giving us this story to teach us something, to warn us about something, to encourage us to do something. And what I think he's trying to do so hard is to teach us how we're to invest so that when we pass from this life into the next, we don't go, "Whew, I made it." But that we hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant." So that when we pass from this life into the next, there is a party waiting for us and we can't wait to party. Not because we just happened to get there, but because God has used us in this life to do extraordinary things. We have watched God work in our lives. We have watched God work through our lives to change other lives. And we can't wait to get there to party, to go, "Yay, wow, God, thank you. This is awesome. I can't believe you did this in my life. And now I get to spend eternity celebrating with you." There is a difference. When you work hard, when you try hard, when you take risks, and you reach the finish line, whether you have the best time or not, whether you are the first one or the 53rd one, but you cross the finish line, you can't wait to celebrate if you've given your best. And so here's the trading tip I want to give you. Last week was what we do matters. This week, I want to give you this encouragement. Go now. Go with what you are given. Go with what you are given. Don't wait until you have more. Don't hide because you're afraid. Go with what you are given. Because here's what Jesus sums up at the end. Those who invest responsibly, multiply their opportunity. When I invest my time and my resources responsibly, when I recognize where my gifts and my resources come from, when I use them as I'm intended to use them, when I take the big risk, trusting the big God, I know more opportunity will come. The one that had 5 got 10. The one that had 2 also doubled, multiplied what they had because they invested responsibly. They took a risk and they went with what they are given. But the problem for you and I is we make some common mistakes. I'm going to say 3 of them. Now you could sit back, you and I could probably come up with some more. But I think there are some common investment errors that we all make. And the truth is, people make them in the money market as well. I know very little about finances. I just know if there is a plus or a minus in my bank account. When the number is red, I'm in trouble. That's what I know. So what I try to do is I try to find people who actually know how to invest, how to understand all of the details, CPAs. I know I got at least one CPA right back here. Well, you're not a CPA, but you know the money stuff. I'm looking at you. I'm grateful for people like that because I don't want to make some common mistakes. Some common mistakes is jumping into a stock too soon and jumping out of it before it hits, right? Has anybody ever heard that investment rule? Ride it for a while is the encouragement. Don't try to get in and out because most of the time you lose. Well, so here's some common mistakes we make with the resources God has given us. The number one mistake is we think it's ours. We think what we have is ours. The number one mistake we make is claiming what isn't mine. These servants, the story that Jesus said, did they go, I now have 5 bags of silver. It's mine, Eureka. No, they recognized and they remembered whose it was. And you and I, we can be guilty sometimes of going, that's my car. That's my bank account. That's my time. I think it's mine. And so I protect it like it's mine. I talk about it like it's mine. And here's the big thing. I decide to use it as if it were mine. Here's what I want to encourage you in. Anything we own, we remember, is on loan from God. I got really artsy and decided to try to make everything rhyme for this message series. Everything we own, we have to remember, is really on loan from God. Let's say that together. Here, go back to that screen for me. Whatever we own is really on loan from God. Guess what? You got to give an account for how it's used. Someday you and I will face judgment and we're going to have to give an account. God's going to want to know, what did you do with the time I gave you? What did you do with the resources I gave you? Sure, so-and-so maybe had more. But what did you do with what I gave you? Did you invest it? And here's another common mistake when it comes to investing. We forget whose it is, and therefore we forget what it's about, and we try to make a name for ourselves, and we try to make ourselves comfortable, and we try to create a space and a place for ourselves instead of remembering it was God's, and I'm to invest it for God. Here's some other things that I think if you like to write down, I want to encourage you to write this down. Here's a good note. We are to invest in purpose, in God's purpose, not in a place. Hear that. We're to invest in a purpose, not a place. A place so often is for us. I put my name on this place. I invested in this place. We're called to invest in God's purposes. Here's another one. In a movement, not a monument. We're called to invest in a movement, not a monument. A lot of us want to leave a legacy of a thing behind. How many fancy buildings have names on them? So-and-so's library. I've been to churches where there's little gold plates all over everything because so-and-so donated this. And the challenge, as soon as you put a name on it, is you can't move it. You can't lose it. It no longer serves the purpose. It holds back the movement, but it's now a monument, and you can't do anything with it. I know a lot of churches. I guess there was a time, and because this church was planted in the 80s, I guess you missed that time. How many of you know old churches that there is an upright piano in practically every classroom? Have you ever heard? Some of you know those churches. There is an upright piano. I was at a church. We had 6 upright pianos. And we knew we needed to get rid of them. Nobody would take them. But we couldn't. Why? Because they had little gold plates on them that said so-and-so gave it. It became a monument. And it held back the movement. It was a place instead of a purpose. And the problem with all of that is we claim that as ours instead of remembering it's on loan from God for God's purposes. So here's the next mistake. And this is what that servant did. He held on to it. He hid it. And we hold on to what we're given. We're not ready yet. I want to wait. That servant, maybe in his mind he was like, I only got one. If I had two, I would move because then I could take a risk, right? At least I have some backup. I have some cushion. But I only have one. And the moment you have a scarcity in your mind, whether it's real or not, the moment you have scarcity, you produce anxiety. How many of you know that reality in your life? I have a perceived scarcity, and it has created real anxiety. I think I need to have this much in my bank account. And if there is not this much in my bank account, I can't do anything. I can't give. Here's the crazy thing about generosity. There has been a study done. And do you know how much money it takes to be generous? 1 cent. It doesn't take much of anything. Here's the difference between wealthy people and what we might claim as poor people when it comes to generosity. It has nothing to do with what's in their bank account. It has everything to do with what's in their heart. Whether you have $1 billion or $1, you are not going to be more generous or less generous. It depends on what's in your heart. And your heart is manipulated by a sense of anxiety. If you feel like I only have this and I can't move forward. If we remember it's all from God, if we remember we got it from God in the first place and God owns it all, God made it all in the first place and I don't need to fear, then that anxiety goes away. If we remember how great our God is, instead of questioning how great is our God, it changes everything. We have no problem living open-handed. But that guy was afraid. I heard a joke that scientists had learned how to finally make life, and they wanted to have a contest with God. Maybe some of you have heard this joke before. It's cheesy, but it'll give you a moment to catch your breath and to wake up. So these scientists, they had learned how to make life, make a human life, and they decided they were going to challenge God because they thought they got pretty good at it. And they wanted to say, hey, God, we can make a better person than you can. And God's like, okay, guys, I want to see this. Let's have this challenge. And so the scientists get together with God, and God says, okay, here, what are the rules? And God says, okay, here's my dust. And the scientists go, okay, and here is our dirt, and we're going to see who makes a better person. And God's response to them is, wait a minute. No, you go get your own dirt. You see, it's all God's. Anything we do, it all started with God in the first place. And so why are we so afraid that God can't make more? God can. Don't be afraid. Don't allow anxiety to control you. Here's the last one. We forget who we serve. We forget who we serve. That last servant, he considered his master harsh. He considered his master unfair. He considered his master brutal. And there are times where you and I think of God that way. Have you ever endured a tragedy? And you said, why, God? Why are you being so mean? Why, God? Why are you being so unfair? And that's a common mistake when it comes to investing, is we forget who we serve. And because we forget, we quit trying. And here's what I want you to know. This is my encouragement to you. You only fail. You only permanently fail when you quit trying. Here's a great acronym. This is freebie. I didn't make it up. But fail, first attempt in learning. Just keep going. Remember who God is. Because at the end of the day, here's the big idea I want you to walk away with. If you remember nothing else, it's this. Our reward in heaven, our eternal reward, is based on how we manage. It's not ours. We are managers. How we manage God's resources, God's way, for God's glory. How are you and I going to be judged in eternity? How is what we do going to be evaluated? It is going to be a question of how are we managing God's resources, God's way, for God's glory. Not for my glory. Not my way. God's way. Not my resources. Not my time. God's time. How do I manage God's resources? God's way. For God's glory. And when I choose to live that way, it changes everything. In your bulletin, there's a little green card. In the seat in front of you are little green cards. I want to invite you to take a moment and look it over. And I want to ask you, what is God calling you to do with how God has blessed you? How is God asking you to move in this community with what God has provided you? What resources of God's has God entrusted to you? God has entrusted you with your time. What skills has God entrusted you with? What finances has God entrusted you with? The reality is, some of us have more than others. It's not a question of how much do you have. It's what is your heart and how do you want to use it? I want to encourage you to think about this card and to decide about what God is doing in this church. And if you believe that God is moving here and you want to invest, is this where God has called you to invest? And it's not just a finance. It's your time, and it's your talents, and it's your abilities. And I invite you to take a moment and look that over, take it home and pray about it. And say, okay, God, what do I have? Because at the end of the day, God, what I have, you've called me to manage well. You've called me to manage your way. And you've called me to manage for your glory. Let me not claim it as my own. Let me not hold on to it until more comes. And let me not forget who you are. The simple question is this: how are you investing? What is your next step with Jesus? Where do you need to go? I invite you to pray long and hard about that. Because there's one thing you and I want to hear. And it's going to be my prayer over you right now. Is you want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I want you to close your eyes with me for a moment. And as we close, I want you to imagine for just a second that those pearly gates have opened wide. And you're a little unsure as you are walking through those gates. You're a little unsure, and then there he is. There is God. And I want to ask you in your heart, you don't have to say it out loud, what is the pose? What is the position that God has right there? Do you fear God's judgment? Does God have a look of stern frustration? Or are God's arms open wide? My prayer for you by your decisions today is that you will hear, well done, good and faithful servant. Lord, we pray, we beg, we hope. We are so eager, Lord, that when we breathe our last, when you call us home, that we will remember your grace, we will remember your blessings, we will remember, Lord, how you have invested in us. And Lord, when you call us home, we pray that we will see your arms flung wide open, that we will see you running to greet us. saying, "Well done. Well done, good and faithful servant." Oh, Lord, may we party together in eternity as you love us and as we feel your love and your reward. Thank you for how you have blessed us, and may we be a blessing. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. As we close, I invite you to stand and I invite you to sing our last song together. I invite you to sing, not quietly, not uncertain. I just invite you to use the gift of your voice and use it boldly. Let's stand and sing our last song. In each and every one of us who have accepted Jesus Christ, who have said yes to him because he first said yes to us, in each and every one of us is this flame, is this light. I pray you would know God's joy. I pray you would know God's hope. You know, when I give my kids a toy, when I invest some time in them, man, it makes me happy to watch them smile. When was the last time you gave your kid or your grandkid a good gift? Man, when they jump up, when they can't wait to open it and play with it, we gave our children little sticky, stretchy strings. My son just hit himself in the face with it before he left. It's a cheap little gift to me. It seems so small. He slept with the thing. He loves it. And it brings joy to my heart. May you know God's joy because of the gifts he's given you and your passion to invest and use them. May the light burn bright. Amen.